Making After School Cool.
Welcome to the Making After School Cool podcast, the link between research, practice, and theory for those who are interested in the activities youth are involved in during non-school hours. The Making After School Cool podcast is produced by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education, and I'm your host, Mike Wilson. Although activities for kids to participate in during non-school hours has been around for decades, they were traditionally in the form of clubs, sports, or other types of youth interest projects. Yet, during the last 25 years, the demand for quality organized after-school programs have grown dramatically. Additionally, today's after-school programs are no longer just based on kids' interest. Now, many are designed to address students' needs either academically or socially, to provide recreational and possibly teach a skill that the student may not otherwise have had access to. Furthermore, program quality and evaluations have become a major component in the after-school landscape. So today's topic for the Making After School Cool podcast focuses on research regarding after-school and summer programs. To address the current state of the after-school program is my guest, Dr. Jennifer Sloan McCombs. Dr. McCombs is the Senior Policy Researcher at the RAND Corporation. Her research focuses on evaluating the extent to which public policies and programs improve outcomes for at-risk children and youth. Her studies combine implementation and outcome data to provide practitioners and policymakers with guidance on how to improve programs and promote positive outcomes. Dr. McCombs is a frequent advisor on summer and after-school programs and has served as a member of numerous committees and advisory groups regarding after-school and summer enrichment. Dr. McCombs, thank you so much for being our guest today. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
Great, great. You've done a lot of great work regarding after-school services. So what motivated you to do research regarding the impact of after-school and summer programs?
So I'm broadly interested in understanding what policies and programs can benefit children and youth from low-income families in an effort to reduce disparities and to create more equitable life and developmental outcomes for them. So we know that a lot of time spent out of school is one of the most inequitable times that children face. So youth access to enrichment activities like arts, sports, music, theater, is highly dependent upon family income. So the highest income families spend about 7 times as much more on enrichment activities from their children. And this spending gap creates an opportunity gap. So for instance, about 59% of school-age children from low-income families participate in sports, and that compares with about 84% of children from wealthier families. And those opportunities gaps exist for private lessons, participation in specialized clubs as well. And those out-of-school experiences really help children develop important skills, explore interests, and help shape their lives.
It appears outcomes and the effectiveness of services provided during non-school hours have become a major component of the after-school landscape. You've previously conducted research, including longitudinal studies of the impact after-school and summer programs have on urban youth. Can you briefly describe the research and some of the key findings?
Sure. So my colleagues and I have been engaged in the longest and largest study of summer programming to date. We've studied the implementation and effectiveness of voluntary summer learning programs that were implemented in 5 urban school districts. And so these district programs differed a little bit, but they each offered a core set of components. So they all included at least 3 hours of academic instruction plus enrichment activities that were offered 5 days a week for at least 5 weeks over the summer. Academic classes were led by certified teachers and the class sizes were small, and the enrichment activities were typically developed and provided by after-school providers. So this program also provided free transportation and meals, and were free of charge to families. So as part of this study in spring of 2011, third grade students were offered the opportunity to sign up for the summer program. So almost 6,000 students across the 5 school districts applied, and more than 3,000 students were randomly selected to attend the program for 2 consecutive summers. So the students who were not selected to attend form our comparison groups for our outcome analysis. So after the first summer, we found that the group of students who were selected to attend the program performed better in mathematics. strongest benefits accrued to those who attended at high rates. So those were students who attended 20 more days of the program. And so after the first summer, these students demonstrated higher achievement than comparable students in the comparison group in mathematics in the fall when they came back, as well as on the spring state assessments. And then after two summers of programming, high attenders saw advantages in mathematics, language arts, and social and emotional skills as reported by teachers. In addition to attendance, which is obviously a key driver, the amount of academic time students spent on task and the quality of instruction were also mattered in relation to outcomes. And we also found that supportive and positive climate inside the program was related to student attendance. We gathered a substantial amount of data on the implementation of these programs, which allowed us to produce detailed research-based guidance on how to construct effective summer programs. So if anyone's interested in it, they can find that on RAND's website or on the Wallace Foundation's website.
Prior to COVID-19, the summer was the longest period of time students were out of school. Thus, the term summer learning loss was created to indicate the amount of academic slippage that many students suffer since they're out of school. Now, since COVID-19, kids have been out of school from the early to mid-March until approximately September. Since they are returning to school either in person, virtually, or a hybrid, teachers are now confronting what is called the COVID slide. What role do you see after-school programs playing in offsetting the COVID slide?
Well, all children are facing loss during this time. Children from low-income families are losing the most. So years of research, as you mentioned, shows that during summer breaks, children from low-income families fall behind their peers in reading and mathematics. And they also have fewer opportunities for socially and emotionally enriching experiences. Due to COVID, we had the longest summer experience we've ever had, with a complete lack of opportunity for many. And we're facing a school year that is going to be inequitable. The digital divide is definitely a concern, as many low-income families are not able to provide access to computers, high-speed internet that children need to engage in virtual learning. School districts have been working hard to address the digital divide issue, and many have been able to provide families those resources. However, an under-discussed and unaddressed issue that we face is the inequity in learning environments inside the home. So some children live in homes where they can have designated and quiet workspaces, places to study, and a caregiver who can even help them stay on task and troubleshoot issues, but not all do. And we have a group of children who don't even have stable housing. And those inequities are far more difficult for districts and schools to mitigate. Now, over the next several years, we are going to need greater investments in schools and after schools to address the losses that children are going to face during this time, so that we can help ensure that all students succeed in school and life. And I worry because we're going to need more resources in a time when federal, state, and local budgets are going to be more constrained than ever. In terms of what after-school providers can do now, I would say that they can begin working with schools and families to identify key student needs that are going to need to be addressed, and to begin to structure programs or to create new programs that can help address those needs. And they can also band together with others in the community to advocate for the ongoing funding that's going to be needed to help support children to get back on track.
Based on your experience and the outcomes of some of the research you've conducted, what are key components that quality after-school programs offer to students?
Yes, so it's interesting because I think that there are many different types of after-school programs that can be beneficial for students, right? But regardless of what the content of that program is or sort of the actual goals of it, I think that there are some key factors in the research base that are critical for maintaining quality that I would pay special attention to. So the first thing I would do is I would start planning early. So planning is the critical component that sort of enables the quality experience to occur. Because really what programs need is a lot of intentionality. So intentionality is about determining what programs should accomplish based on what the youth and community need. It's linking the content of the program activities to the outcomes you want to achieve. So for instance, if I wanted a program to develop youth leadership skills, I would really need to be cognizant of ensuring that I had activities in my program that taught youth about leadership that enabled them the ability to practice having leadership and also gave them the ability to reflect on those experiences. That intentionality is also really necessary to create focused, structured activities that are actively engaging youth, which we know is incredibly important. I would have a strong focus on staffing. So effective programs need to ensure that the staff have the skills to accomplish what the program goals are, as well as the ability to establish a positive climate and positive relationships with and between youth. And I would focus a lot on effective use of time. So this is one thing that we got to see play out a lot in our summer study. So as part of that study, we observed every classroom of students across the five districts for their entire day. So we followed them through their academics, their, you know, lunch periods, their breaks, and their enrichment activities. And one thing that we saw was a lot of variation in how time is used. So time's a precious commodity, and ensuring that it's not wasted and that it instead is used to engage participants in the program and ensure the delivery of program goals is really critical. And so effective use of time also requires preparing and training staff, having really strong logistics, you know, making sure that you have available materials for your staff to be able to use, efficient transportation of children and youth, and a strong understanding of the entire campus on what you're going to be doing and accomplishing and when. And it's also about establishing a mindset of sort of the importance of the program, sort of like, and its content and the activities that kids are going to be engaging in. And then I would also have a really strong focus on creating a safe, positive, and engaging climate. So staffing certainly critical to this. The logistics also feed into this. Climate is really at the heart of it's what drives attendance, drives youth experiences, and it is the factor that helps ensure the development of positive relationships.
Previous research has shown low-income students demonstrate greater learning loss than students from higher-income households. This learning loss may be larger now with remote learning and the digital divide for lower-income students. My first question to address this is, what do you think will be the ramifications of the digital divide? Followed by, how will you suggest after-school practitioners work with school administrators and families in this area?
Now, you spoke earlier about the limitations, possibly of future funding, a lot of government, local, state, as well as school districts, their budgets are really stretched. But after school has sort of become a mainstay in a lot of communities. What recommendations would you make to local communities regarding the importance of students having access to a quality after school program?
Making funding decisions, sort of like federal, state, and local policymakers should all consider the benefits of OSU programs and what they provide. So the availability of programming for students, particularly from students for low-income families, really depends on the availability of funding. And even with current funding levels, the supply of high-quality programming does not meet demand from families. And that was, those are pre-pandemic statistics. OSD programs provide multiple benefits to families and students. They ensure supervision and safety. They provide access to new experience. They allow children to explore their interests, and they are critical in developing key skills and competencies that are linked to program content. You mentioned at the beginning, and you started out and talked about sort of how evaluation has become really front and center in terms of after school and thinking about quality of after school. And a lot of times that leads to, there are two ways to think about this. And one is thinking about a continuous improvement process, which I know that a lot of programs and communities engage in, understanding how to improve year upon year the quality of their program. Another part is looking at outcomes and having funders holding providers accountable to outcomes. And I would encourage those funders to hold providers to outcomes that are directly linked to their content, but also to not shortchange the importance of providing safe spaces, high quality experiences to children and youth, that help them develop, and also to remember the need for sufficient and stable funding for the development of intentional programs that are appropriately staffed to create those high quality experiences. By using out of school time effectively, I think that there's a really great opportunity for us to help close the academic and enrichment gaps that are widening due to COVID. I think that they can be narrowed through use of this time, but without a concerted and ongoing investment into programming outside of normal school day hours, we could be faced that most disadvantaged students could be living with the impacts of COVID-19 for a long time after the pandemic is over.
I know one of the ironies of this particular pandemic is it has brought to light the inequities among families that have limited resources versus those that have access to more resources. And so that definitely, in one sense, gives us something to use as we continue to talk about needs of students and the effectiveness of after-school programs and the social, academic, and emotional impact on a positive side that after-school programs have on students. I think it does help to equip local families as well as after-school programs, nonprofit agencies, and so forth with their ask in regards to looking for partnerships, looking for funding from local businesses, as well as local and state government. Dr. McComb, do you have any final comments before we wrap up?
I would just thank your listeners for all the work that they do on behalf of children and youth in their communities.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest on the Making After School Cool podcast. As always, I want to thank our listeners for joining us for this episode, where our topic focused on research regarding quality after school programs. Please join us for future broadcasts as we continue to explore topics relevant in the out of school time field.